have been Christians in your past. How many Christians are there here? Okay. When I was brought up as a Catholic, I used to say this little prayer before I went to sleep. My mommy taught me this little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many know that prayer? How many have heard that prayer? Okay. So I'm going to start my presentation now, and considering my present condition, now I start my presentation, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I finish, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Okay. So, let's start from the beginning of Chuttananda. That's not, anyway. There's a slide before this, but it's all right, Prabhu. The red one. Oh, where's the red? Okay, go. This is the invocation mantra. Can you see this? Can everybody see it? Okay. Let's chant. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishate. I remember in Los Angeles when Srila Prabhupada first introduced, 1970, I believe it was printed. And Srila Prabhupada used to chant these verses. We went through up to about verse 9 or 10. Every morning was Srila Prabhupada, and he would chant. We'd all chant along. There's tapes of this too. And it's really neat to hear Srila Prabhupada with all the devotees, but his voice comes over naturally stronger. Om Purnam. So the translation is, the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. That's important. He's perfect and complete. Purnam means complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, phenomenal means visible, that you can see, hear, touch, taste, smell. That's called phenomenal. Phenomenal world are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. So, Isha Upanishad, the oldest of the Upanishads, the summary of all the Vedas. Vedas means perfect knowledge. It is expressing this point that everything is there within the universe and even within ourselves to become perfect. We just have to discover it. It's there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Right? From the Bible. Okay, next. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Any mathematicians here? Anybody study mathematics? All the women, you're all mathematicians. Oh, okay, good. One at least. All right, how many of you took arithmetic in school? Okay, you all did. What is 1 minus 1 equal to? 0, right? But that's material mathematics. Spiritual mathematics is 1 minus 1 equals 1. How is that so? Because Krishna is achintya, or inconceivable. Even though so many complete units emanate from him, still he's not diminished in any way. Although he creates the material cosmos, although he expands himself within the cosmos in various forms, multifarious forms, still, he's the perfect, complete, transcendental whole. separate. He's transcendental. And even as Krishna, when Mother Yashoda looked within the mouth of Krishna, she saw everything within his mouth. And it was not that he was good at trick photography or, you know, computer graphics. Everything is there within the body of Krishna. Even though we're seeing outside Krishna everything, I'll give you an example of this. A little hard to understand, but let's see. This is known as a matrix. Okay? Well, let's take it a little bit step further. Now, this point here, yeah, it's close to this point, this point, this point, and this point. It's one-dimensional. You can see it. Now, if you expand it to two dimensions, then you'll get something out here and something on the other side. So there's, instead of close to 4 points, it's now close to 6 points. Now, if you go on expanding the dimensions, what you come up with is every point is right next to every other point on the matrix. Now, we can't see that because we can't conceive of anything more than two-dimensional. 4 dimensions. Who can even think of it? Where does it go in your brain? We have no experience. But by theoretical mathematics, you can prove that. So Krishna is very high dimensional, and his world is very high dimensional. So he is simultaneously within everything and at the same time outside of everything. And he remains the complete balance. And therefore, this gives us an opportunity. We can worship him as the transcendental supreme personality by looking within the creation. We're thinking of the transcendent Lord, but we can see him manifest in his creation. All right. So mantra 1 through 3, as we told you yesterday, deals with the proprietorship and occupation within society. And this is a big issue because what causes more wars in this world than any other single factor? It's some leader or some group of people trying to extend their boundaries to encroach upon the property of someone else. So who is actually the proprietor? This is the thing. So how to live in the world happily and the importance of spiritual life. We have to go beyond the bodily conception because Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And we have no, you know, it's not like Krishna's some big industrialist in Russia or America and he owns everything and he's paying everybody and, you know, we're all like, you know, farmers who are paying the king a tax. It's not like that. Krishna is transcendental. And yet still, he's the origin of everything, therefore he's the proprietor. So in mantra 1, whatever is produced of the complete whole, actually I think we must have missed a slide here. No, didn't make it. You're in mantra 3 now. Is it possible you go to mantra 1? No, not 3, I want 1. Invocation, yeah. Isavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagacham jagat
Tena tyaktena bunjita magrada kashasvidhanam.
Okay, Krishna is Isha Avasya. Avasya means controller, or it means centered, actually. And Isha means Krishna. Ishwara Parama Krishna. He's Ishwara, or known as Isha. Ishwara Parama Krishna. So, Isavasyam means God-centered or God-controlled. Avasyam means controlled. So, everything that is within the Jagat, Jagat means the universe, everything is controlled. Idam Sarvam, all things, Sarvam Idam, is controlled and owned by the Lord. Tena Tyaktena, one should give up those things that are not his property, should accept only those things that are set aside as his quota. You can go to the translation. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the world is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, knowing well to whom they belong. One should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. This is, we used to distribute this leaflet in America. We would go to what were called be-ins, big festivals of hippies. And this was just around the time of the Vietnam War, so a common theme was stop the war in Vietnam, because a lot of young university kids were drafted into the army. Many of them were not soldiers by any stretch of the imagination. There was no discrimination. If you were young at a certain age, you had to go to the army, whether you were suited for it or not. And it was one of those political kind of wars where the generals don't fight it, the politicians do, and they get thousands and hundreds of thousands of people murdered because politicians, they're the ones who should actually go to war and be shot dead. Then we'd probably all be a lot happier off, but hope there's no politicians here today. But this was a pamphlet that we used to distribute called the Peace Formula. Everything is God's property. And Prabhupada talks about this in the purport. Now, we have to, first of all, have faith. Faith is a very important element in our lives. And notice I didn't say in spiritual life. Everyone has faith. No one really has absolute proof of anything. Individually, I may know within the core of my heart what I feel is the truth, but I can't prove it to anyone else because my feelings, my experiences in life, my realizations, I can try to describe them to you, but you will never know until you experience in the same way. So, people have faith in science. Now, one of the bases of science is atoms and molecules. And in our atomic age, one of the most dynamic developments is nuclear fusion, which comes from exploding or going deep into the atom. In order to study the atom and to explode the atom or separate the atom, they have what are called particle accelerators. And without getting into what a particle accelerator is, I can tell you they cost billions of dollars to build. And very few scientists actually get an opportunity to use those particle accelerators. So what we're doing is, on faith, we're accepting the version of these so-called Brahmins of society. People accept blindly whatever the scientists say. And one reason is, in part, that they give us their discoveries, etc., combined with industry. They give us all these neat little gadgets like wireless microphones and video projectors and computers. We're like little children, and as long as we get our toys. Any of you have children? Now, have you found it necessary with your little children that you have to buy them toys? You have to. They'll cause great havoc in your life. You won't get an hour's sleep in a day. You have to buy them toys. So, big children also need their toys to keep them occupied. And scientists, they have their toys, and they get the money for them from us. They squeeze our blood. And I have visited big, big scientists along with Swarup Damodar Maharaj and Rasaraj and others when we were inviting them to our World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and Religion in 1986. And I saw on two different occasions where we met a big scientist, and we were inviting him to come, and we were telling them, well, so-and-so in Paris, he has agreed to come, so why don't you come? And the man's reaction was, oh, that man, he's not doing very important work. I did that 10 years ago. He went on a whole tirade. It was obvious he was green. He went from white Englishman to green. Green with envy. So they get their money from grants, from industry and from governments, and there's only a certain amount of money available. So they cheat. They do experiments, and they fudge. They call it fudging. They take the results and they change them so that they agree with their theory, their premise. And then they take the results to different people who control funds, and they say, I need more money to do this work. And if they don't do it nicely, then someone else will come. No, don't give him the money, give it to me. And, you know, who pays the salary for their children and their families and their cars and their whatever paraphernalia they have. So they're just as untrustworthy as anyone else in the universe, especially right now, 2003. Earth, planet, Kali Yuga. You can't trust anyone. Everyone is subject to sense gratification. So this Vedic knowledge, disciplic succession, we have to see that this knowledge is coming down from a perfect source. Everyone in this world has defects. Now, Apauruṣeya means that Vedic knowledge is infallible. It's coming from a transcendental source. The origin, the first person in the universe is Brahma. Now, modern science, their process is to try to extend their senses and try to grow in knowledge. What do they call this process of extending their senses? I forget the term right now. Come on, give me some hints. Huh? Not virtual reality, that's Matrix. no, I'll think of it. But our process is, Lord Brahma is already perfect. The first person is the most perfect, and then everyone after him is less intelligent. Lord Brahma has complete knowledge. And not only that, but Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Where did he get his knowledge? Apart from the fact that he creates everything, he was instructed within the heart by God, who is Adhoksaja, beyond the labyrinth of Maya, beyond illusion. Krishna is Mayeshwar. He's not covered by Maya. He's above Maya. He's the controller of Maya. It's his Mama Maya, Duratyaya. So everyone has four defects, but they cannot deliver perfect knowledge because of the defects, imperfect senses, tendency to be an illusion, cheating propensity, and... Didn't I say that? Imperfect senses? Okay. So anyone who has these four defects, it doesn't matter, scientists, philosophers, scholars, your teachers in school, your parents, your boss, it doesn't matter. Anyone who is in this world has imperfect senses. You just can't trust. You've been trained and trained and trained for at least 10, 15 years. You've been indoctrinated, not only by school, but by television, by movies, by your friends. You've been brain dirtied. You need to be brainwashed. You've been brain dirtied. So this is what we are trying to do collectively. We're trying to take knowledge from a perfect source and katiyantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Together we're discussing. Together we're having seminars, discussion groups, debates, opposing ideas, but we're trying to come closer to the perfect understanding of the perfect philosophy. Nobody's doing that. But that is what our association with the disciplic succession is teaching us. So, we are also controlled. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya hankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. We're also controlled in this world. We're controlled by material energy. People think that they're the doers, but they're called vimudhas. They're not only donkeys, mudha, but they're vimudha, very big donkeys, big jackass. Because they're being controlled, but they can't see it. Pasyanapina pasyati. They can't see the fact that they're speaking big, big words, and Prabhupada talks about different Mayavadi scholars, one in particular that he spoke to. The man was claiming that he was God, that he was the controller, but he got a toothache, and he had to leave the assembly where he was speaking to deal with his toothache. Now, at least I admitted I had a toothache and I'm not the controller. He didn't even admit that. He thought he was the controller, but he's controlled by a toothache. So we can't control even little things. You can't control how your food is digested in your stomach. Like those pancakes that they had last night. They were indigestible. It was like eating rubber. Anyway, it was a lot of bhakti in them. So, we can't control anything. And until and unless we admit that I am under the control of material nature and I need help, I have a disease and I need a cure, we really have to come to that conclusion. And we have to stop being arrogant. In many ways, it filters down. First of all, we're arrogant with Krishna. We're not prepared to surrender to Krishna. We're not prepared to surrender to Krishna's representative. Krishna says, if you want to surrender to me, here's my representative. You prove that you're worthy by surrendering to him, but we're not prepared. We're not prepared to surrender to the community, to the association of Vaishnavas, to Dhyanam Samarchanam, the community of Vaishnavas. We want to be the independent controllers. Whatever we take up, this defective mentality pollutes what we do. Until we give up this defective mentality, we're not going anywhere. We may have an external show of a spiritual institution, but the external facade, the external form is not the essence. The essence is samarpanam, surrender, humility. We know, you know the story, Prabhupada, Dr. Kapoor, OBL Kapoor. Abhay, you're a chemist, make a formula by which we can drink it and all get love of Godhead. Jokingly, Dr. Kapoor was joking. Prabhupada became serious. He said, I know the formula, I just can't mix it. Oh, what is the formula? Trinada pisunichena tarara pisaishnana. Right from the very beginning, Prabhupada was telling his God brothers what he practiced throughout his whole life, humility. Lower than the straw in the stream. How humble should I be? Well, I should feel myself lower than the straw in the street. Well, what does that mean? I have to squirm around on the sidewalk all day long? No. It means I have to have an appreciation for other Vaishnavas and their ideas. I may not agree with them, but I have to be empathic. I have to be humble. I have to understand that I may not always have all the right ideas. And I need my God brothers and my God sisters and the community of Vaishnavas. It takes a whole village to raise one child, and it takes a whole institution to make one pure bhakta. Prabhupada said, his mission will be complete if he can just create one pure soul. He hoped, of course, to get more than one. And we can, if we can enthuse one another and inspire one another in the right direction. But if we fight over petty, useless, unimportant things, which are really not the end-all, the be-all and end-all, you know, forget it. Go back out and compete with materialistic men and get as much as you can. If you're not coming to Krishna consciousness with a sincere attitude, trying to become perfect, and then if you don't, kaizen, kaizen, kaizen. If you're not thinking about getting better every day, at least 1%, if you're not on that track, just joining an institution so you can be the big cheese. You know, HH before Swami's name. In Spanish they say head honcho. You know, the honcho means the boss. You know, the head honcho. That's not what we're all about. We want to become dasa, dasa, anudas. So, we're controlled by material nature and we have to admit it. Then we can begin to understand our relationship with Krishna. The Yajurveda. This first three verses deal with the proprietorship. That's what the whole Yajurveda mostly is about, that subject. As I said, it's such a big subject. Your apartment. I have this experience with my favorite doctor at Bhaktivedanta Hospital is Vishwarup Das. He's one of the senior devotees, disciple of Radhanath Maharaj. Wonderful devotee. Good doctor. His wife had a child. They both, child and mother, almost died at childbirth. They both survived. They were praying, praying. The whole world was praying. Then afterwards I went to see them and I said, I was talking to them, and Visharup was talking about my daughter, my daughter. I said, look, your wife is saying her daughter, so whose daughter is it? And he said, oh yeah, our daughter. And I said, no, it's Krishna's daughter, you fool. Because you're attached, thinking my daughter, therefore you're thinking you're the doer, the controller. And you'll be in anxiety, but if you understand it's Krishna's daughter, you're just the guardian. Then we have to understand that about everything. It's not my car, it's not my house, it's not my job, it's not my family. I'm simply Krishna's instrument in the world. I'm simply Krishna's servant. The perfection is to get free from this material world and take as many people as I can back to the spiritual world with me, starting with my wife and children. The Krishna describes the material energy as prakriti, control. Prakriti means that which is controlled. So there is para and apara prakriti. Apara prakriti means the material elements. Bhumira, po, nalo, vayu, kamano, buddhirevacha. Ahankar, false ego. Ahankara ityam me binna prakriti rashtata. This is binna prakriti, it's separated material energy. But aparayam, besides this, aparayam itastvam yam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam daryate jagat. Besides this, there's the jivatma. And he's para prakriti, he's tathasta shakti. Potentially, we can live in the spiritual world with Krishna. Why are we here? Whose fault is it? Who do we blame? It's my fault. My ignorance. We have to think about that. Simple points. We've heard it again and again. But if you suffer from time to time or on different days or whatever it is, things often go in cycles. I try to encourage devotees, learn to count. Now, your grandmother probably taught you to count to 10. Whenever there's a problem, you know, just don't get angry, count to 10, and it'll go away. I'm teaching people to count to 20 or 30, because times have changed since grandma, and it's worse. But things do go in cycles, days go in cycles. So just relax. And know that you are para prakriti. You're here covered by the ocean of Maya because of mistakes that we made in the past, but you can rise again. In the this is from the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the same verses. Bhumera po nalo vayu. This is also Srila Prabhupada uses this in the purport, this example from the Upanishads. Ekadesha stitas yagyar. Just as fire is ekadesha, it's in one place. Jyotsna vistarini. The light, the jyoti, is spread everywhere, although the fire is in one ekadesha, one place. Jyotsna vistarini yata. It's spread all over. So in the same way, Krishna, although in one place, his influence is spread all over. He's the basis of impersonal Brahman, and he's within the heart of every living being. He's controlling the wanderings of all living entities. That's who we're talking about when we talk about Krishna. Now, we all love to discuss Krishna's pastimes. And that's nice, because they're very sweet. It's much better than Superman or Batman or Spider-Man or Spider-Woman or whatever. Krishna's pastimes are wonderful. Keanu Reeves can't compare at all. But we should not forget who Krishna is and what he means practically in our lives. Just to hear lila. We need a balanced diet. Okay. His energy is distributed everywhere. He's the controller, Parameshwar. He's the proprietor. We have a quota. Now, here's an interesting example. Everything, isavasimidam sarvam. We want a God-centered society. But we have to realize that although sarvam kalvidam brahma, it's all one. Everything is basically Krishna's energy or spirit, Brahma. But at the same time, there are differences. I'll give you an example. Srila Prabhupada said there is first class, second class, third class, everything, including prasadam. I know, prasadam is transcendental, even if it tastes like yuck. You gotta just eat it. Oh, delicious prasadam. No, that's not true. You honor it, maybe. If it's, you know, not very good prasadam, you may just take a grain. If it's going to make you sick or something, or if it's like, you know, in India they like a lot of chilies. So if somebody comes here and cooks for you some delicious prasadam with a lot of chilies, you know, you may say, well, you know, it's great prasadam, but I can't eat it. That's just using your discretion is the better part of valor, courage, to use your discretion. Just like when you fight a war, the Vedas teach about how to fight a war. If you have an enemy that's stronger than you, then you should try to negotiate a truce with him. Not that onward into the valley of death rode the brave 600 and they all died. That was courageous, it was great, you know, but maybe they could have negotiated a truce or something. Or you try different kinds of politics, like, you know, kings in the past, they would, a superior enemy was at the gate, and they would say, I just happen to have a beautiful daughter, and maybe you'd like to marry her, she really loves you a lot, you know. And so in that way, war was avoided. The last thing is to fight. So there's discrimination. And we have to use our discrimination. Here's one example in terms of what we do in the universe and what we eat. The cow is eating grass. Now, I know right after my seminar there's going to be a lunch of grass. Everyone loves to eat grass, right? We're going to have the best green grass that the lawns in Croatia. We don't eat grass. We cut it up and burn it. So, but cow eats grass because that's her quota. It's natural. Set aside as her quota. And she's happy. And she gives us the most wonderful food, milk. And the cow does not eat milk, does not drink milk. Cow doesn't, you know, give me a glass, you know. Cow doesn't do that. Her calf takes a little, but if there's any vegans out there, if you give all the milk to the calf, that calf will get sick. Go and live on a farm sometime, instead of, you know, talking. Live on a farm, deal with calves. You have to tear the calf away. And if that milk remains in the cow's udder, she'll also get sick. So she has left milk for us to drink. And instead of drinking her blood by killing her, we can get the blood in the form of her milk. Common, intelligent, good sense. Not difficult. Life is not difficult. Spiritual life is not difficult. You just have to be a rational human being. Simple. You don't have to have a PhD in astrophysics. I met one very nice devotee in England recently. Her name's Charanarayan Dasi. She has a PhD in astrophysics. I was afraid to go near her. No, she's a wonderful devotee. very nice. So even if you have a PhD in astrophysics, it's not a disqualification. But you don't need it to figure out the real simple things in life. Tigers eat meat. Now, they don't have to cook the meat. They don't have to add spices. They don't have to smoke it. And they just stick their teeth in and rip the flesh out and eat. That's their quota. They don't drink milk either. They don't eat rice. They don't eat wheat. They have their quota. Now, we also have our quota. And there's lots of proof for that. And this is not a seminar on vegetarianism either. But our quota is to eat what Krishna instructs us to eat. And he wants us to eat yajna shishta. And that's not an Italian preparation in Sanskrit. Yajna shishta means food offered to God, the remnants of sacrifice. My devotees are freed from sin just by eating the remnants of sacrifice. It cleanses the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. But those who are satisfied just to be vegetarians, the World Vegetarian Society or whatever it is, bunjitete tagampapa, not only papa, but agampapa. This is serious sin. Because they're not acknowledging the proprietorship of Krishna, the controllership of Krishna. He doesn't want to take from us. Just like your employer, he wants his authority to be felt all over the company, and he also wants to take as much of the company assets for his wife, his house, his... He wants to pay you as low a salary as he can, ordinarily. There are maybe some good employers, but I haven't found them yet. Maybe Tomislav, he's a good... I don't know. He works in a company where he's one of the directors. But Krishna has given us a quota and he wants us to eat Krishna prasadam. That's all we have to do. What's the big deal? Offer it to Krishna as householders. Especially, it is the duty of the husband to make sure that it's going on, but it's the duty of the wife to more or less make sure that all the food in the house is offered. Husband may be doing business or this and that, trying to raise income for the family. And he may not have time all the time to just make nice prasadam and offer it to Krishna. But in a cooperative family system, each member works together doing their part. So the wife has to make sure that the whole family eats Krishna prasadam, so that everybody will feel purified and satisfied. Okay. Now, here's another great example. People are so stupid, they can't understand these simple things. You, like, I see so much construction going on here in Croatia, especially on the seaside here. Everybody all over Croatia, a lot of people save money so that they can build a little house in Rijeka or wherever it is down the coast, all the way down to Split or Dubrovnik. Everybody's got a little summer home where they go on the weekends, or finally when they retire, they go and live there. But otherwise, they're in the city, they're doing their job. They don't have time to personally come and build the houses. So they pay some company or some, a big company or just a small friend of theirs who happens to do little construction. They pay them to come and build it for them. And they give him the cement and they give him the bricks and they give him the steel sink or basin and they give him the electric lights and they give him all the facility. And then he goes and builds it. And then you come to live in it, and he says, sorry, this is my house, I built it. What? How's it your house? I gave you everything. It's mine. I bought the land. How do you think you are the owner now all of a sudden? That's what people think. They do not create anything in this world. They don't create anything. They just put things together, but somehow they think I'm the owner. It's a disease mentality. We owe everything to Lord Krishna. He has given us everything. Temporarily, we're using it, but He's the proprietor, not the laborer. We're the laborers. Okay. Another example. Capitalists and communists, they're fighting all over the world. We see these type of tension. There's a lot of tension between capitalists, communists, or people, socialists like that. The capitalists are trying by politics to outmaneuver the communists, and the communists are trying by various revolutions, etc., to get rid of the capitalists, but they're both wrong. It doesn't belong to the capitalists or the communists. It belongs to God. Very simple. And until we can train people in this understanding, let them prove to us that things within the universe, animate or inanimate, belong to them. Let them prove it. Where were they when those things were existing still 50, 100 years ago, 200? They were not on the scene, but those things were existing. They're just temporary lessees. I have an apartment. The apartment building is, you know, I've only been there 3 years. The apartment was there before I came. I get a lease agreement. I move in. I think now I'm the enjoyer, the proprietor. And 2 years later, I move out and get it. What is that? It's the man who built the building, the person who's doing the leasing. He's the owner, not me. And this whole world is like that. And this is the crux, you see. This is our passion. This is our ignorance. I'm the owner. I'm the controller. I'm the doer. And we move about amongst each other. No, you're not the controller. I'm the controller. No, I'm the owner. No, you're the doer. And we're mad. Pramatta. Okay. Prabhupada, I wish I had an Isha Upanishad to read it. I don't have it. So nice here. He says, he talks about the fight going on between the capitalists and the communists and how they're just like cats and dogs. He says, Isha Upanishad doesn't have any advice for cats and dogs, but it's meant for human beings. The way he words it is so beautiful. Isha Upanishad is meant for people who are basically suras. Asuras won't understand. Okay. The message of Godhead comes down through disciplic succession, through our acharyas. Krishna says, what is that verse? Yoga Prokta Puratana. What is that? Saivayam Mayatedya Yoga Prokta Puratana. Arjuna, I am speaking to you this ancient science which has been lost in the course of time. Therefore, I'm reestablishing the authority, the knowledge of disciplic succession. So that is where our strength comes in, our perfect knowledge. We have to keep it alive, and when it gets lost, then yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sri jamyaham. At that time I come to reestablish the disciplic succession. Sambhavami yuge yuge. All must recognize Krishna's proprietorship. Animals don't sin but follow their standards. There's no sin for animals. They just follow their standard up the ladder. They progress from one species to another. Human beings, however, have different standards. We are culpable for our mistakes. We can make progress. We can graduate. But we're also, if we make mistakes, you cannot complain because you have choice. And this idea of choice is overriding every other consideration. Although there is destiny, but that destiny can be changed by your making a choice that from today forward or any time forward, you're going to serve Krishna and not your senses, not your ignorance. So you have a choice. And because you have a choice, there's also the possibility of being punished or demoted. Just like in government circles. In a government office or even in a business, someone who has got a lot of responsibility, they get more facility. And similarly, human beings, we have responsibility to execute our dharma, to know God. In the government office or the business, the ordinary clerk doesn't get that facility, but he doesn't have responsibility. The big man, the manager, if he doesn't execute his responsibility properly, the proprietor of the company will demote him. You're fired. Do you think people, you know how the economy is bad today, how there's a lot of competition. If you don't show up at work one day just because, you know, you wanted to go to some Hare Krishna seminar or something, you'll be fired. That's the end of your job. Not, oh, I understand, Prabhu. You have to have your spiritual life. Okay, you can continue on in your job. Don't worry, the fact that we just lost a $10 billion contract, it's not important. Nobody's going to give you that, attitude. You don't do your job, Punar Mushiko clerk. Punar clerk Bhava, rather. Punar, again you become a clerk. So we have our human form of life, and you, if you don't, it's not, well, should I or shouldn't I? I don't think so. Not now. It's not a choice like that. If you don't do it, you get the consequences. You could go down. Well, you're all devotees. You've chanted Hare Krishna. Even if you don't make it, at least you'll be born as a cat or a dog in a devotee's house. Okay. We should follow the laws and go back home, back to Godhead. Next. Okay. Actually, I have not timed this seminar. And it's too late to go through verses 2 and 3. So I'm going to stop here. If there are any questions, I can try to answer any questions. Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. I know, it was just a bluff.
Maharaj, you spoke about humility, and Prabhupada gave in one lecture, actually conversation, a definition that humility means simply being bold for Krishna. Simply being bold for Krishna.
Simply be?
Bold.
Bold for Krishna.
Yeah, yeah, so maybe you can explain.
Did I say that? Where's the tape recorder? I forgot to turn the tape recorder on again today.
No. Prabhupada said that.
Prabhupada said be bold. You know, Rabindra Swarup is probably the most erudite, academic in ISKCON. Thoroughly qualified. He's a PhD, but he's a real academic. In other words, he didn't just sneak his way through and get his degree and then go back to washing dishes or something, but he really is, even to this day, a scholar, an academic, a writer. And he studied the history of religion. And he was a liberal before he joined. So when he joined Srila Prabhupada, he heard Srila Prabhupada say that there may come a time when devotees have to literally fight against the demons to protect the temples, to protect Krishna, whatever. So this worried him a lot because it brought up in his mind so many visions of, you know, religious zealots, you know, marching off to war for, because they're right and God is on their side, you know. Bob Dylan wrote a song, now we are staying, is God is on our, with God on our side, you know. Bob Dylan, Robert Dylan, anybody heard of him? I'm not getting too old yet, okay. Give him the mic. give him the mic, I'm serious. Go ahead. I forget the words. No, it's on, it's on. Now you turned it off. Yeah, you got it. The green light should be on. You got the green light. Go. Go.
They murdered 6 million in arms they have fried, and Germans now do have a God on their side.
With God on our side. So, you know, this is what Rabindra was just really, you know, a bunch of religious zealots going out and killing people and blowing bombs up. Maybe you have heard about that. It goes on today some places, like all over the world in every major city, caused by some religious zealots. Not Muslims, actually, just crackpots. So he was worried, said, Prabhupada, you know, how can we be sure that the devotees aren't going to become just like that if you, you know, if they think about going off, have someday having to fight with demons? How can we be sure? And Prabhupada said that if you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles and situate yourself in the mode of goodness and then act, you'll do the right thing. Not that he's giving a formula that everybody should go out and fight. Arjuna went out and fight because he was told directly by Krishna to fight. Generally, devotees are non-violent, very peaceful. They won't kill even an ant. But, if necessary, Arjuna was a devotee. Hanuman was a devotee. Bhima was a devotee. They're some of the best bhaktas in the universe, and they were, you know, they weren't pussy willows, or, you know, they weren't wishy-washy. So, yeah, we have to go out boldly and preach, but we have to use our intelligence and our discretion also. If we, just like Prabhupada said about book distribution, I just heard it on a tape the other day. Prabhupada was saying that if you go out and you distribute a book and someone goes away angry, then you're a rascal. You just distributed a book, you know. You would think, hey, I'm a hero, everyone, give me the maha plate. I just, you know, distributed a book. I should get, you know, my name in the BBT newsletter, you know. But that person went away angry, probably saying, you're a rascal. So we have to learn how to do things so that people will have a good impression of devotees. For the most part. At the end, if someone attacks our temple, then, you know, we can give up our lives fighting. Does that answer your question?